Beyond the Dark on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's speak to Dr. Bernardo Castrot. Now, you have a book out called Dreamed Up Reality. Now, this really is incredibly deep, incredibly deep. You tell us about the book, and I won't interrupt.
All right. Well, the book addresses, I think, one of the most perennial questions in history, I think, which is the question, what is going on, right? What is reality, and what is the nature of our condition in it? To me, who have always had a scientific background, a very rationalist background, this has been the most important question of all. And for many years, I thought that science has had almost the answer to this question, that the models of science were very close to answering this, that what is missing was basically some fine-tuning, some detail, but that we were almost there. And then I have had a couple of experiences in my life, a couple of very personal, idiosyncratic experiences that changed my mind about it, experiences that brought me closer to my own cognitive processes, brought me closer to my own mind, to my own unconscious, and made me suspect that a lot of what is out there in reality, a lot of what is part of reality, an intrinsic part of it, is actually filtered out by our ordinary, everyday cognition, that we just shut it out, maybe because it is not useful for survival, so our brain evolved to just filter it out, which is not a new idea. It's an old idea, actually, from the early 20th century. And going back in contact with that, to me, was, well, a bit of a shocker. I needed to make sense of it, because what I thought I cognized then was not explainable by the models of science. And I felt that I didn't have any other way to make sense of it other than to just dismiss this as, you know, mental noise, as an illusion or a delusion, if you will. But I couldn't do that because of the sense of ultra reality that came with the experience. So I went on a journey, some research, to try to make sense of that. And what I relate in the book is the models I came up with to validate it, to give myself permission to believe in that experience from a very rational, coherent perspective. I needed that framework. I relate some of the other experiences I then had afterwards in trying to replicate what happened originally and what I made of it, what conclusions I arrived at. And I offer these conclusions not as the answer to that ultimate question, but as an example of one personal journey of someone with a very rationalist scientific background who needed to incorporate these experiences in my mental life in some way or another. That's what the book is about.
Now, try and put that into layman's terms for my listeners out there, to which we have an awful lot of people listening that mightn't understand a word you said then. Can you put it into... I'm being serious. I'm not having a go. I'm being really serious. Can you put that into layman's terms? Simplify that for us.
Okay. Remember those old autostereograms, those pictures of colorful dots? That if you look at them, you only see random dots. There is no pattern in them at all.
Yeah.
But if you shift your perception in a very subtle way, very difficult to pin down, but you step back and you look at it in a different way, and then suddenly a 3D image jumps out. Know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good metaphor for what I'm trying to say. I think for as long as we are in a very analytical state of mind, which is the state of mind at which you look at those dots and you only see dots, you don't see anything else, that is the realm of science. That's the realm of our ordinary experience. But there is a very subtle state of mind. There is a very subtle, a different way of looking at things that is very difficult to pin down or explain, in which patterns jump out of reality that you cannot explain with the usual models that our culture holds to be true, that science holds to be true. Very difficult to explain patterns that at the same time you register as things you remember, things that are very familiar, that you cannot deny, because they are more real than real, if you will. It's like those 3D images jumping out of the paper. You cannot not dismiss that. Those images were there all the time. It's just that in your analytical frame of mind, you couldn't see them. You could only see dots. So I think what I suspect and I try to convey in the book is that ordinary reality is like those dots. We have this analytical frame of mind that we need to have in order to succeed in life, to have careers, to be successful, to survive. But when you step back and you look at reality in a slightly different way, things jump out at you that you cannot explain in culturally validated terms. You cannot explain with our usual language. And for someone who takes that seriously, it's very difficult to make sense of it. You need to integrate that in your life in some way, in a way that is coherent, that is consistent, and doesn't make you think that you're a loony. And that has been my attempt.
Did this help?
Yeah.
Why did you feel the need to write this book? Why did you feel the need to do what you did, to look into this?
I think in a way I wrote this book for people like me because, as I told you, I have this very rationalist background. I used to be a professional scientist for several years. I still, circulate in a very rationalist world doing what I do, which is high-tech marketing. And I didn't give myself permission to take some of my own personal experiences seriously, given my background.
Give me an example of an experience that you couldn't take seriously.
When we have this may sound trivial at first, but to me this was quite fundamental. When we have an afternoon nap that our minds wander, you're not quite asleep, but your mind just wanders into very strange cognitive territory where you have funny ideas, funny perceptions. But then when you come back, when you wake up, you forget all that consistently, every time, and you go on with your life as if nothing has happened. What happened to me a couple of times is that I remembered fully where my mind had wandered during an afternoon nap. And it was like the 3D picture jumping out of the outer stereogram. And I remembered it. I remembered what I saw. I remember what my cognition machinery was doing, what my mind was doing, what I was thinking. And I couldn't make sense of it afterwards. I needed to integrate that and frame that in some rational story that I could tell myself to give myself permission to take that experience seriously. So writing the book was an attempt maybe to help other people with the same rationalist, skeptical mentality that I have to give themselves permission to incorporate these kind of things into their lives and not dismiss it, because we sort of live, we live in our own story. Our reality is like a Russian doll of stories that we tell ourselves, stories within stories within stories. And each level of storytelling restricts more and more our perceptions, our cognitions, what we validate as a legitimate part of reality. And we may need permission from ourselves to take some of the things that fall out of our storytelling as legitimate parts of reality. That only broadens our minds and our lives, I think. I think we are at a point in our culture where the stories we tell ourselves are so depressive. They make life so meaningless and hopeless that it is quite important that we give ourselves this permission to look a little beyond this story. And maybe restore some of the meaning we've lost in our culture, in our civilization.
Have you let your friends read the book?
Yes.
Have they reacted?
There are two types of reactions. Some of my colleagues and friends, they are very shocked that the person they know, who is a very skeptical, very pragmatic, very sharp person, would write a book like this. So. Part of the reaction is shock, surprise. But then afterwards, what usually comes is, I never told it to anyone, but I have had some experiences that I also couldn't integrate, and this helps me. And in a way that gives me validation for having written the book. It was worthwhile doing it. But for those reactions alone, if 5 people have a reaction like that, it was worthwhile writing the book.
Bernardo, was it a hard book to get published?
This was my second book. I have written 3 books. This is my second book. My first book was very hard to get published. The second one was not. It was I'm publishing it with the same publisher of my first book. They knew me already when they read the draft. I submitted to them first. I never submitted anywhere else, and they read the draft, and they immediately wanted to publish it. So, no, but my first book was very hard to publish.
What was your first book?
My first book is called Rationalist Spirituality. It's basically a scientific, philosophy-oriented articulation of what most people would refer to as spirituality. It has a very different tone than this book, which is called Dreamed Up Reality. It's a much more free-thinking book. Less formal than the first one.
What sort of people would you want to read this book? The listeners are out there now. What would people pick this book up for? What would you want them to get from this book?
I think people who have an intuition that there is more going on than what we think there is and what our culturally validated models of reality allow us to accept as part of reality, they have that intuition, but they don't give themselves permission to go in that territory because they are profoundly rationalist by nature and skeptical, and they are afraid to step on minds of, you know, things that are just crazy and unsubstantiated and not justified in any way. If these people read the book and they realize that, hey, there is a very rational, coherent, reasonable way to frame this kind of thing, as valid hypotheses that don't contradict science, although they do transcend science as we do it today, that it's not crazy to give serious thought to this kind of thing, then these are the people I would like to reach, the people that that need to give themselves some mental latitude to explore things that exceed maybe the boundaries of our current rationality, but which are not crazy, which can be out in very coherent terms.
I'm talking to Dr. Bernardo Kastrup, and I want to ask, from this book, can anything be used by it? Can it be used for a reason? Can there be something taken from this book that can be used?
You mean for practical application? Mm,
yes.
I don't know. I think, you know, what our society seems to require from people today is basically analytical skills, a very analytical, very, very linear way of thinking. And what the book tries to do is basically to say that there is validity to ways of thinking that are not like that. So a practical application in terms of, you know, growing your career or earning more money, I don't think so. But if you consider maybe being more hopeful about reality, more hopeful about existence, about you think that maybe devising coherent reasons why life has a meaning and why there is much more out there than we think, why there is much more yet to be discovered, why the dance of existence is a huge mystery and not a done deal like our culture seems to imply. If these are practical applications, then I think the book has enormous practical applications, at least certainly has for me writing it.
What's the next book about?
The next book is called, it has not been published yet, it will be published in January. It's called Meaning in Absurdity. It is a more formal book as well, and it tries to explore the idea that, you know, you cannot use logic to validate logic itself. That's a note statement. It comes from ancient Greece. Philosopher called, I forgot his name, Agrippa was the name of the philosopher who framed this. And I tried to take this statement to another level, take this statement to the level of our experience in the world today, and the absurd phenomena that a lot of people tell, people who are credible. They tell stories that are illogical, absurd, and in principle sense that can there be validity to those stories? Is there a coherent way for us to look at those stories as signs that there is something about reality that we don't know yet. That's what I try to explore in the book from a philosophical perspective and even a scientific perspective. But the latest results of science are quite surprising and have not been incorporated yet have not percolated yet through the rest of science. But there are some very surprising recent results out there.
Your book out now is called Dreamed Up Reality. Where can they buy it?
You can buy it in bookstores and online, online retailers, searching on amazon.co.uk for it.
Are you pleased with your book?
I think a writer usually is pleased with the book. If I would write it again today, I think I would write it slightly different. But a book belongs to its time. I wrote it in 2010, and I don't have any regrets about it. Yes, I'm pleased with it. It gives me a sense of, gives me a certain satisfaction of having done it. Not for egocentric purposes, not at all. But it gives me a certain sense of accomplishment, a warm feeling about it. Yes.
Dr. Bernardo Kastrup, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Liverpool's biggest after-hours talk show, Late Night City, with Pete Price on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.